The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 15, verses from 25 to 32. Allow me to read the words of God. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he hasn't back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with your prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Amen. It is said that the title of a movie takes 80% of its promotion. Given the number of films that are released in Korea exceeds 1,000 a year, producers do their best to make a better title. Sometimes they barely confirm the title just before the release, and sometimes they decide a title which one of the audience recommended after having a preview without a title. There's also this saying that a short and clear title drives a movie to a success. In fact, most of the movies having more than 10 million viewers had titles with words shorter than 5. The same applies to foreign films as well. Film producers want titles that are simple but highly impressive. Movies such as Jaws, King Kong, and Titanic has one-word titles but show the characteristics of movies effectively. How about Amadeus? These days, many people know that the title came from the middle name of Mozart. It was not true until this movie was released. Some would have recognized the name, but very few people would understand the meaning even today. Considering that, the title of the film could have drawn little attention, but this title tells the movie so well that there will be no such title better than this. Amadeus is a Latin word combining Omer and Deus, which respectively means to love and God. So the meaning of Amadeus is a person loved by God. This film is not simply a musical film, but a movie about who is loved by God, as the title goes. It is about God, His grace, and human jealousy about the way God gives His grace. Although the title is the name of Mozart, in fact, it is a story of Antonio Salieri, who was less brilliant than Mozart and lived the same age with him. Moreover, it is about the story of all the Mozarts and Salieris living in this world. In the movie, Salieri was a court composer for Joseph II, an Austrian emperor. Conflict between the two began When Mozart turned 25 years old and arrived at the imperial court for his performance in 1781. Upon the performance was finished, everybody at the court was astonished, especially Salieri. That day, Salieri finally realized that the talent for which he desperately asked God was given to another person who was Mozart. To Salieri, the talent of Mozart was an evidence that a person who loved by God was Mozart, not himself. At the first scene, Salieri was sent to a psychiatric ward after cutting his neck with a shaving knife out of feeling guilty. A priest soon visited him and have a conversation with him as follows. When the priest entered Salieri's room, he was playing the piano. Salieri said, "Leave me alone. I cannot leave alone a soul in pain," the father replied. "Do you know who I am? That makes no difference. All men are equal in God's eyes." Then Salieri changed subject. "How well are you trained in music?" "I know a little. I studied it in my youth." "Where?" "Here in Vienna." "Oh, then you must know this." And he played a song he composed. After the play, the priest felt sorry and said, "I can't say that I know." "What is it?" "It was a very popular tune in its day." Salieri said that he composed that music and played another. Without melody, he went back to the glorious times when he was an imperial composer. After the performance, he was fully enjoying the loud applause. He looked at the priest with an eye, expecting something. "Well, I regret it is not too familiar." The priest clearly seemed embarrassed. "Can you recall no melody of mine? I was the most famous composer in Europe. I wrote 40 operas alone." "Here, what about this?" Salieri started again. This time, the priest looked that he might notice something familiar. He began to sing along. Even after Salieri stopped playing, he kept singing and emotionally said, "Yes, I know that. That's charming. I'm sorry I didn't know you wrote that." "I didn't. That was Mozart. Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart." Stressing the middle name, just like he has making fun of it. "The man you accuse yourself of killing?" The priest suddenly seemed worried. Salieri wistfully said, "He was my idol, Mozart. I can't think of a time when I didn't know his name. I was playing games. When he was playing music for kings and emperors, even the Pope in Rome." Salieri goes back into his youth in his memory. "I admit I was jealous when I heard the tales that they told about him. Not of the brilliant little prodigy, but of his father, who had taught him everything. My father, he did not care for music. When I told him how I wished I could be like Mozart, he would say, 'Why? Do you want to be a trained monkey?' While my father prayed earnestly to God to protect commerce, I would offer up secretly the proudest prayer a boy could think of. What the old Salieri was saying fades out, and he prays toward the cross hanging on the wall. Lord, make me a great composer. Let me celebrate your glory through music and be celebrated myself. Make me famous through the world. Make me immortal. After I die, let people speak my name with love for what I wrote. In return, I give you my chastity, my industry, my deepest humility every hour of my life. Soon after his praying, his father passed away while having food, and the life of Salieri completely changed. After all, he became a music teacher for Joseph II and then a court composer. The emperor practically had no sense of music, but Salieri did not care because the emperor was impressed by the music of Salieri. Salieri asked the priest, "Tell me, if you had been me, wouldn't you have thought God had accepted your vows? And believe me, I honored it. I was a model of virtue. I worked hours every day, teaching students, many for free, sitting on endless committees to help poor musicians. Work, that was all my life. Everybody liked me. I liked myself." Then the priest started feeling better. And then Salieri happily said, "Until he came." At the night he came, my life changed. He wasn't just a trained monkey. His music was truthful. He composed a concerto at the age of 4, a symphony at 7, and an opera at 12. This is the talent that he was given by God. How is this possible? Had all the music already been composed in him? He was Mozart. He left crudely, crawled on the floor, and a womanizer. How come such a vulgar man could do that? Why does God use such a crude man as his instrument? All I ever wanted was to sing to God. He gave me that longing and then made me mute. Why? Salieri knew that the musical talent that he had longed, wished, was for Mozart, who never was faithful, but only vulgar. So he prayed to God for sending Mozart back to Salzburg for a long time. To him, God became a torturer. Salieri offered the sincerest prayer in his life. "Dear God, enter me now. Fill me with one piece of true music, one piece with your breath in it, so I know that you love me. Show me one sign of your favor, and I will show mine to Mozart. I will get him the royal position. Enter me, please." God did not answer to the prayer. He was outraged and prayed for the plan to kill Mozart. You and I, because you choose for your instrument a boastful, lustful, smutty, infantile boy, and give me for reward only the ability to recognize the incarnation Because you unjust, unfair, unkind, I will block you. I swear it. I will hinder and harm your creature on earth as far as I am able. Salieri put the cross off the wall of his study and threw it into the fireplace. He cleverly made Mozart stress out of his hardship and die from overwork while writing the Requiem, leaving God and successfully driving his fellow musician to death. Salieri himself also broke down and ended up dying miserably in a psychiatric ward. This was the story of Amadeus. Today's scripture also features a Salieri in verse 25. The older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. The older son was just like Salieri, doing the best effort for what he has to do. He didn't even recognize that his brother came back and he was working in the field. And all the parties began at night in Israel at the time. And the older son heard the delightful music. The word here, music, is symphonia in Greek. And the word was used as symphony. The original meaning of the symphony is singing together. If this village was Seoul, it was like the Seoul Philharmonic and Seoul Dance Company were playing a performance in the house. More casually, it was like a TV show was being filmed in the house with the people of a village like a festival. Being embarrassed and surprised, the older son called a servant and asked why such a party was held, and the servant answered as follows in verse 27. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. This seemed like the younger son returned as Mozart. When informing the older son of the party hosted by his father, the servant said, your father has killed the fattened calf. He could have told all the people of the village are here, or servants made the food all day from early morning. But he said, your father has killed the fattened calf instead. This expresses there's nothing to compare with the younger son and how the party was plentiful. There's an old saying that a mother kills a hen to treat her son-in-law. A son-in-law is a precious guest for a mother. A mother should have killed a hen sincerely hoping that her son-in-law to take good care of her daughter. Killing a hen was not an easy decision, considering killing a hen would lead to no more eggs and loss of important resources. If you were treated by food made out of a hen, you were treated best. Meanwhile, pigs were killed for a wedding of a son or a 60th birthday party, but it was a rare case to kill a calf. Fathers grew calves to let them work instead of selling or eating. Calf would work worthy of a couple of healthy men. The father in the scripture killed a fattened calf when his son, who left home and came back again. That the younger son came back was like he lived again from death, and that couldn't even become the subject of comparison. In contrast, the older son was angry even when his father asked him to join and said as follows in verses 29 and 30, "But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.'" The Bible starts the sentence with, "Look." He was complaining that he earned nothing from his hard work for years. If this is applied to what Salieri said, "I thought it was me who was loved by father, but it was the younger son, the vulgar man." Last time, the younger son would mean the tax collector and sinners, while the older son indicates the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. Their lives can be summarized as legalism. The most outstanding feature of legalism is that it is not the Lord who gives power, but the act of oneself. In the Luke chapter 18, Jesus told a parable of a Pharisee and tax collector who went up to the temple to pray. The Pharisee prayed, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers or adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get." On the contrary, the tax collector would not even look up to heaven and prayed. Although the Jews generally prayed looking up to heaven with both hands raised, he did not deserve doing so. "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." If the Pharisee relied on himself, the tax collector was dependent on God. When both of them went down, Jesus said the tax collector was more righteous. Righteous faith always follows God instead of itself. This question could arise: does such a life of the older son do any good? Then someone could be faithful for 5 years and leave the church for the next 5 years until coming back. He would ask for God's forgiveness and then repeat the routine. Would that be acceptable? Definitely not. We'll think about it next week. The complaint of the older son as shown in the verse 29 and 30 was not just his, but all Christians would have said once in their life, or rather more frequently than that, "Lord, you know how hard I or my children studied to pass the exam. Then why should I fail? God, I came an hour earlier and left an hour later than others. Then why did I fail to be promoted while others who are far from diligent made it?" God, Stop saying loving money is the source of evil and help me to win the lottery. Then please check how hard I would live. Why do you not trust me? Why only me? Why only my children? Why my husband? Why my wife? Why my family? And why my parents? Everyone has such a question. Salieri had not just lived 2,200 years ago, but lives today in us. Why did you answer to my prayer even though you don't use me as an instrument? Why do you drive me to where I cannot say anything? We would think God does nothing that helps us. Each and every one of us has a role taken by God. Sometimes others would feel like Mozart and Salieri myself. But the main character of the movie, Amadeus, was not Mozart. It was Salieri. The movie unfolds through the eye of Salieri. The winner of the Best Actor at the Academy Awards in 1985 was Marie Abraham for Salieri, not Tom Hanks for Mozart. Today is New Year's Sunday. Like I said in the New Year's midnight worship, the church motto of this year is Lord, my strength. The life of David began as a shepherd and ended as the king of Israel. As he confessed, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want." From outside, it looks perfect as he became a king from a shepherd. But looking inside, the life of David was full of faults. He hadn't been recognized by his father and brothers. His master and father-in-law had to be chased after by King Saul for a long time. King Saul was accompanied by 3,000 soldiers selected from across the nation. He tried to kill David, who was a loyal servant and son-in-law. He had troubled family life. Even after becoming a king, and later he had to step down due to a coup and run away with having nothing in hand. Such David became David, all thanks to his dependency on God as his strength, rather than relying on himself and the secular values. God had each of us take a role. At times, our role could be unseen, even if it's main character. Let us be built together in God, in a place of life where God took us. Let us have only God our strength. Those who are built together in God have God the only strength. Those who have God their strength can be built together in God. Those who refuse to be built together in God would make themselves or worldly values as their strength, and those who rely on themselves or secular values cannot be built together in God. Only those who have God their strength to be built together in God could use the time in terms of thickness instead of lengthiness in their lives. Only those who have God their strength can live every day as a new year in 2020, thanks to the grace of God. Let us pray. Father God, the older son regarded that his father was unfair. Father killed a fattened calf for his prodigal brother who wasted property in life, but had never given him even a goat, even after his service for his father for such a long time as he thought. Sometimes we think the same way. God seems generous to others, unlike to ourselves. So we are reluctant to depend on God and think what we have for secular values are more trustworthy. However, we confess that there is nothing to rely on except God. We thank you for allowing us to have Lord, my strength as the church motto. As ourselves and what we possess is no better than finite worldly values that might look splendid but vain, with getting us no satisfaction and peace, we faithfully take a step forward to the year of 2020 based on the strength from God. During this year, help us rely only on God's strength. Witness our time is spent in terms of thickness rather than lengthiness, and make sure that God, who becomes our rock, our fortress and shield to save us, as David has experienced, is the same God we believe in. So help us to live as the hands and feet of God in places where God planted us. Greet every day as a new year and new day in 2020. We pray in Jesus. Amen.